The answer is that, while all were agreed that his antic was inexcusable, all were equally agreed to pretend that it was a mere trifle of no importance. You cannot deprive a man of his prescriptive right for a mere trifle of no importance. Besides, nobody could be so foolish as to imagine that goose-driving, though reprehensible in a mayor about to succeed an earl, is an act of which official notice can be taken. The most curious thing in the whole imbroglio is that Josiah Curtenty secretly agreed with his wife and the town. He was ashamed, overset. His procession of geese appeared to him in an entirely new light, and he had the strength of mind to admit to himself, "I've made a fool of myself." Harry went to London for a week, and Josiah, under plea of his son's absence, spent 8 hours a day at the works. The brougham remained in the coach house. The town council duly met in special conclave, and Josiah Topham Curtenty became mayor of Bursley. Shortly after Christmas, it was announced that the mayor and mayoress had decided to give a New Year's treat to 400 poor old people in the St. Luke's covered market. It was also spread about that this treat would eclipse and extinguish all previous treats of a similar nature, and that it might be accepted as some slight foretaste of the hospitality which the mayor and mayoress would dispense in that memorable year of royal festival. The treat was to occur on January the 9th, the mayoress's birthday. On January the 7th, Josiah happened to go home early. He was proceeding into the drawing room without enthusiasm to greet his wife when he heard voices within. And one voice was the voice of Gas Gordon. Jos stood still. It has been mentioned that Gordon and the mayor were in love with the same woman. The mayor had easily captured her under the very guns of his not formidable rival, and he had always thereafter felt a kind of benevolent, good-humoured, contemptuous pity for Gordon. Gordon, whose life was a tragic blank. Gordon, who lived a melancholy and defeated bachelor with his mother and two unmarried sisters older than himself. That Gordon still worshipped at the shrine did not disturb him. On the contrary, it pleased him. Poor Gordon. "But really, Mrs. Curtenty," Gordon was saying, "really, you know, really." "To please me," Mrs. Curtenty entreated, with a seductive charm that Jos felt even outside the door. Then there was a pause. "Very well," said Gordon. Mr. Curtenty tiptoed away and back into the street. He walked in the dark nearly to Oldcastle, and returned about 6 o'clock. But Clara said no word of Gordon's visit. She had scarcely spoken to Topham for 3 weeks. The next morning, as Harry was departing to the works, Mrs. Curtenty followed the handsome youth into the hall. "Harry," she whispered, "bring me 2 £10 notes this afternoon, will you, and say nothing to your father."